The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's here. Peloton's best offer of the season. Get up to $300 off accessories when you purchase a Peloton tread. Choose from accessories like a heart rate monitor, non-slip grip dumbbells, yoga blocks, and more. If you've been looking for a sign to join Peloton, this offer gives you everything you need to get going. Hurry. Peloton's best offer of the season is here, but not for long. Visit onepeloton.com to learn more. All access membership separate. Limited time offer cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
It's only on a few select games that I have gaming skills. One of those being
recording Team Fortress, in progress.
Team Fortress 2, at which I am incredibly skilled at. I do quite well. I used TF2 as kind of like a OT, occupational therapy, ever since the car accident, and it, you know, hand eye coordination, reaction time, playing sniper really pushed me to do that, because I used to main heavy and pyro, but now I main sniper, and I do decent for a minute, and then I get overwhelmed. And yeah, man. So we got some stuff to talk about today, so let's roll the intro. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse Podcast Network YouTube channel and whatever podcast app you might be listening to us on. Follow, subscribe, all of that good stuff. Check out our website, lrmonline.com, or the website of this whole operation, if you will. It's not like Genreverse came first. LRM's been around for a while. Check them out every day for all entertainment news, needs, and opinions, celebrity interviews, and more. I'm Kyle at That Kyle Malone, joined as usual by Manny at Manny Gomez Media on Twitter. Mine's on Twitter as well. What's up, bud?
Nothing much, man. Just, you know, another day in paradise. It's Friday.
And it is indeed Friday, and I think you've got a movie you wanted to talk about later on. Mm-hmm. But first we kind of got to continue some conversation of yesterday. Warner Brothers Discovery had a quarterly call, or was it the yearly?
Second quarter.
Okay. So were you listening in on it, or were you like reading someone's live tweets? Cause you were kind of updating us as soon as this thing was like going on.
Nah, I just I wasn't gonna sit through the whole thing. I just caught what was important at the end.
Okay. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what we learned yesterday from Warner Brothers Discovery?
Okay, so it had been rumored. It had been, you know, a lot of things have been said about what was going to happen with like HBO Max and DC and that sort of things, because of the recent moves that they had made. Specifically, Batgirl and Scooby-Doo Haunted and House Party, of course, being canceled at the last minute, while other things had just started disappearing off of the streaming service. So yesterday, during the call, they had with David Zaslav, who's the head chief over there. It was finally announced the fact that HBO Max and Discovery Plus are going to be merging into one mega streaming platform, I guess you can call it, or whatever. But the weird thing is that during their presentation, they did break it down into the fact that HBO Max was a little bit more suited for guys, and Discovery Plus was a lot more things for the ladies.
I resent that as someone that like lived. But the only reason I had kept cable and satellite TV was for Food Network and Cooking Channel and travel. So I resent that. Damn it.
Well, I mean, no, a lot of people took to the internet saying the same thing. Hell, dude, I love me some Iron Chef and Ghost Adventures and shows like that. So it was like, okay, that's interesting, because I have both streaming services and I like them both, you know, for different things, not for.
And how it's made, like, talk about one of the, like, best, how it's made and, Unwrapped, where they make food treats and stuff like that. Those are two of those shows that you could just put on as background noise all day. Yeah. I love it.
Lots of background noise shows on there. And so it's very interesting. Also, they introduced the fact that they're going to be adding, and I laugh because this is an actual thing, the 90 Day Fiancé universe. And I was like, what? That's actually a thing. It's supposed to launch next summer sometime, with a rollout globally following in 2024. As far as what it's going to be called or exactly how it's going to work, it's unknown. But one thing that they do want to try is to have a free version with ads. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to be... in the long run, I guess, if like for some of us who have both of them already, to combine them into one, you're like, yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
It's one less streaming service.
We hope, because there's that whole other conversation from yesterday where they're talking about cutting redundancy, talking about making more distinct lines, and you're kind of wondering, okay, is that distinct line like a UI interface? Like when you open up the big app, you go left or go right for, you know, scripted. Like we still don't know a lot of things. Honestly, I thought after the merger was approved, and there was even some talk from execs about seeing some Discovery stuff on HBO Max or vice versa, I was thinking, you know, oh, you might see like the CNN documentaries end up on Discovery Plus or something, you know?
A lot of that CNN stuff will never see the light of day, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, they've got a big back catalog of documentaries and things like that. I figured, you know, some of those non-fiction things would bleed over before other stuff. But I mean, I'm always about ease of access, and when you've got multiple things, why not put them under one umbrella with Marvel doing their whole rated M What If, the fact that the M-rated Daredevil and other Defenders shows are on there now. It wouldn't surprise me for ease of branding, reduced cost in branding, reduced cost in redundancy in advertising for things that are already on your platform. I wouldn't be surprised to see Hulu fold into Disney Plus, but not anytime soon. I think they're kind of testing some waters there, kind of like the Star brand or whatever they have in some countries, where it's both like the Disney Plus and Hulu stuff. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it does remain separate. They have enough of a catalog for Hulu, specifically with their FX brand and things of that nature, that they I don't really think it needs a separate. I mean, it's doing really well on its own. It has its own originals now, like Solar Opposites, the new Orville, New Horizons.
Well, what about one of those, kind of like I was saying, where there's one big app, so you never have to back out of the app, but you choose, you know, hey, I'm going to the Hulu side of Disney. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm just not sure if they want that kind of interface to be going on. It's just...
Basically, I'm first world problem switching apps.
Well, I mean, like my remote for my Roku TV that I have right here in the office, it has already the button, so I just...
I know, but still, I have to wait on it to process closing one, opening the other.
That seems like your resolution problem, where sometimes I just laugh at you and go,
yes.
I don't know what you're talking about, sir.
Yeah. So, what's up?
Yeah, so that was part of it. I don't know if you want to move on to the next section.
To DC?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and move on to DC.
So, one thing that I found really interesting is that HBO Max had been pretty successful. I think you and I talked about it a little bit yesterday. So HBO Max and HBO, when it launched, had in the first quarter it was launched, it actually had 76.8 million global subscribers. It was doing well on its own. It's something you and I had talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But Zaslav is looking to find overall about $3 billion in savings. Mm. And you know, it's funny because it made me think of when I'm trying to save, like, where can I get like $100 to save? And it's like, oh yeah, $3 billion to save. A little bit tougher to do. Anywho, what he also, the backlash and everything with Batgirl, he couldn't not do the call without addressing DC and DC Films. So what he revealed was that DC Films are gonna, that it's gonna be a reset, basically, which is confusing given the information I'm gonna give you hereafter. It's been restructured. He said that they're gonna focus on something of a 10-year plan for DC. He stated that it's very similar to, of course, what Alan Horn, Bob Iger have put together with Kevin Feige over at Disney for Marvel. So that's the kind of structure that, according to him, they're looking to follow. And then that they're not going to be releasing films not ready. They're going to be focusing on quality over quantity, which with DC Films is an eyebrow raising moment. Like, okay. But I mean, you know, not every Marvel film's good either, but not a lot of DC films have been great. But I mean, the thing that has been interesting with DC Films is when they hit a home run, they hit it into the water. You know, they do it's either really, really good or really, really bad. It's either winning Oscars or, you know, not.
And then there's Shazam, which is just
Shazam is just good. Yeah,
it's good.
I thought Aquaman was fine,
enjoyable.
And the reason why I give Aquaman a long leash is because of the fact that you created an underwater kingdom.
Yeah,
and made it work. You didn't make Black Manta look ridiculous. And just overall, it's a tough sell.
Yeah,
but you made it work. So you know, James Wan, you get a lot of credit for that. What they did mention is also that Black Adam, of course, is going forward. Shazam Fury of the Gods is going forward. And The Flash is going forward. Apparently, they all of the movies they're very happy with. And interestingly enough, they said that they're going to be tweaking a couple of them for their likings. Aquaman's going forward too, of course. That those films are still happening. And that they're going to be focusing on marquee characters like, hold on a second, characters like Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
No,
so
those are marquee characters.
So yeah, those are which really made me raise an eyebrow and think of what they're going to do with Pattinson's Batman, because I was like, that doesn't have nothing to do. But then again, they're also very happy with Joker, obviously getting a release date now and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, the big news that Gaga is in fact on board, and that's going to be. I don't care if it's a DC movie. I don't care what kind of movie it is. You're putting Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga in a movie, and it's going to be something special on screen. Mm-hmm. They are great. I cannot wait. Anyway,
I think what we're gonna see is more, I don't know, more multiverse or just straight up ignoring. I think they're gonna have a lot of disconnected individual stories and not worried as much about some threads connecting them. I think they might be changing some tune on some of the Snyder stuff and allowing more of it to stay. Say like Ben Affleck's Batman, yeah, getting to play, sure, somewhere. They say they want to Marvel it in a way, and I'm guessing by the way they say, you know, find our own Feige, so to speak. They're talking about having a central planner, mm-hmm. you know, whether that's a single person or a team of people surrounded by or surrounding a single person, they want a central planner. And how it ends up shaking loose, I don't know. I do know that from the looks of things, they're not wanting to do what the former execs were doing, which was content for content's sake. Get as much made as you possibly can and slap it on. I don't think they want to do things that way. So it's going to be interesting to see what shakes loose out of it.
Like part of it, it's good in the sense that, all right, there is a plan. And you guys have, you kind of have, I mean, there always was, but you know, as fans, we always react a certain way to things, especially when we haven't been getting anything. So I think my concern is there was kind of a quote unquote golden moment, I would call it, when you had all these shows rolling off on CW and you know, you had the DC Universe stuff.
Yeah.
The comic books are fantastic. Not saying that they're not great now. And then the movies were happening, you know, some were a lot better than others, but you were surrounded by, you know, content and different levels of quality and things you just enjoy because I mean, like in The Flash was for a while really great, although he was never the fastest man on his own show. he created actually quite a few very, very good villains, and he brought back people from like Prison Break to also that they broke out of a Prison Break. Wentworth Miller as Captain Cold will forever be my favorite character on that show. Did so well. And yeah, just really good stuff. And then I mean, Doom Patrol was so good. Titans had his problems, had a lot of problems. But it was different. They were trying stuff. Swamp Thing was so good. It was going to be the beginning of something great. And then that's when they switched over to AT&T and they hated it. And then they were going to fold it into HBO Max. And a lot of things changed that. Ownership changes. And so I just wonder, if you're going to follow that Marvel plan, are you also going to be doing, you know, series that's somewhere?
Yeah.
Because I think it's important to branch out with characters that aren't necessarily box office. They're just as important. I know Peacemaker's moving forward with season two. James Gunn had already said that. So I guess there's that chance. And there's still no word, of course, if, you know, things with the Penguin are moving forward or things like that. I have a feeling that one of the first people they're going to ask to take over DC is going to be J.J. Abrams.
Let's hope not. But he does have Bad Robot already involved in some DC stuff that they haven't said whether or not, you know, like the Ta-Nehisi Coates and Michael B. Jordan projects. So they haven't said those are canceled or anything to my knowledge, but we'll see what shakes loose. I do know one thing we have to see. An awful segue to our sponsors over at Grow Generation,
where the pros go to grow. Grow Generation offers the best deals and discounts on the best grow products on the market. Grow Generation serves customers across the nation and carries a wide inventory of renowned cultivation brands. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
All right. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring the episode as usual. Link down in the description box below. Manny, I'm a fan of many things. People can see Final Fantasy stuff, some Ghostbusters stuff. My tattoos have occasionally make an appearance on screen. But this particular tattoo of my one of my favorite comic book properties, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is in the news recently. Yeah. We know that there's a couple of projects in the works. There's animated movie coming from Seth Rogen producing, as well as a new live action movie they've talked about but there's no real details on that one. But we do have a title and release date for the next animated film, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, releasing August 4th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
Before I say how I feel, man, Manny, how do you feel about that title?
My first reaction is because I wrote the piece on our site, mm-hmm. is, God damn it, this is a long ass title. But I mean, yeah. Just the name, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is, yes, very long. Just like, but I mean, in the 90s, that's what it was. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yes.
You know, it's just long titles.
Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Big Bad Beetleborgs is fantastic, man.
It does
not get enough credit. I love Big Bad Beetleborgs. No, it was not, man.
I'll take VR Troopers over that any day.
Nah, I mean, Big Bad Beetleborgs was great, man. I remember because, like, it took place in a comic book shop, and that's how they got their powers. And I was like, as a kid, I was like, that's how I wish I got my powers. and plus, I got to hang out in a spooky house with weirdos, which I don't suggest anyone does.
No, please don't.
Unless we are the weirdos. but that's different.
You can hang out with him. I'm not weird. Anyways, yeah. So,
you know, being that Seth Rogen's doing it, and being that it's already been said that they're really going to be focusing on the aspect of you know, the teenage aspect of it, mm-hmm. like a heavy dose of it. I think sometimes fans getting a chance, especially with the Turtles, I'm pretty excited. I don't know if you got the chance to see the mural that they put up in New York with kind of the ooze coming out of it.
I like the graphics, yeah.
So it feels very retro. And if there's one thing about the Turtles that is great, and there's something I wrote in the piece, is how versatile the franchise is, the property is. I mean, how many of your different versions have you already seen of the Turtles?
Oh, but.
Animated,
plenty.
Live action.
You guys can see my like top five here on the channel.
And then like in action figures, I think that, you know, they just rolled out with every kind of turtle imaginable, and mm-hmm. and people just love them, and that's fine. And to think that it came, you know, from, you know, Eastman, and I forget
Laird.
Yeah, thank you,
Laird.
At one point in the 80s, and it was just them messing mm-hmm. around.
Yeah, making fun of Daredevil, basically.
I think it's fantastic. So, yeah, I'm you know, like, more turtle content is good for me, I think.
In general,
because my buddy came over our house, and he did install on our Xbox the classic arcade Turtles game, and we were there for like an hour or two, just button mashing, you know, and just loving life.
So I think the title is something I would expect in a game or like a special episode. It didn't quite feel like a movie title, but that's not you know, me judging the movie. It's just the title's a bit weird. I don't necessarily think this will be setting up a new franchise, so I don't think it'll be like another origin or anything. I'm hoping it's similar to the 2007 film TMNT, where the Turtles had already been established. You know, they were actually kind of spread apart on, you know, they emotionally, except Leo, who actually was out. I'm interested in it. I don't think Rogan is all that great of a creator or actor.
You like American Pickle?
I haven't seen that.
Well, you can't anymore. They took it off of HBO Max.
That's fine with me. I did like Zack and Miri. I thought that was fun, but stuff like Knocked Up,
Pineapple
I did not
Express?
Care. Not really.
Superbad?
This is the End was okay. Superbad's not really much with him, though. That's more about the other characters.
Yeah, sure. What's that other movie then?
I liked This Is the End for the most part. That was kind of funny.
The one where he has a baby?
The Knocked Up was awful. It was awful. I don't like him. Anyways,
you just thought, yeah, it's fine. You know, his laugh is the most unique thing I have ever seen on this planet.
we need a.
I mean, yeah. What's up? He did. He was working on something else that was actually pretty cool. He was on the Corridor Crew, for the special effects. And you know, he's a pretty cool down to earth filmmaker, I think. And then again, everyone has their own style. But yeah.
Yeah. And I don't like Apatow films for the most part in general anyways, even ones without him. Although I did love Freaks and Geeks. That was a great show. The only other quick thing before we talk about Prey I wanted to mention is something that has been discussed amongst us writers and contributors at LRMonline.com and podcasters, and that's how difficult it can be to cover streaming stuff when you keep releasing things on the same day at the same time, and that it would be nice to spread things out. So She-Hulk will be releasing on Thursdays, not Wednesdays, which had been the primary day for all Marvel and Star Wars shows going back quite a while. They started with Mandalorian on Fridays, but all of that changed. I think it's a good idea. I think they should have a day for Marvel content, a day for Star Wars content, and then a day for non-Marvel Star Wars content. What do you think about that, man?
I think that there has not been enough content for this to be a problem. But given
for people that got to cover it, absolutely it is.
It's one or two shows. Suck it up. And I'm telling you this from a point of view of me where I've had several interviews, you know, the next few days, and I gotta absorb seasons of things,
yeah,
and movies, you know, all together and find the time for them. So when you say, yeah, like it's like one, you know, one episode's coming out, I say, screw you, suck it up, and I'm to watch it.
I at any given time am watching like seven seasonal anime in addition to whatever Marvel and Star Wars stuff that is going on.
That's your problem number one. Stop watching anime.
No. Plus things like what we do in the shadows, or you know, things that I'm not necessarily reviewing. So
did you see my clip, by the way, of I asked the director about their Fresno cameo, and he was like, Fresno's cool. He gave me a little answer and everything, which was nice. Because I was like, how did Nando end up in Fresno? So
I don't know.
Anyway, go to my Twitter, it's on there.
Yeah, I saw the interview with Matt Berry, but I didn't see the one with the guy that plays Nando.
Back to your original question. Yeah, no, suck it up and get to watching.
Whatever. Anyways, let's go ahead and get to the last thing you wanted to chat about, which is the movie Prey, Predator prequel of sorts, if you will, set quite a bit ago, dealing with a Native American tribe running into the Predator alien. Manny, what'd you think of the movie?
The movie's great.
Really?
For a Predator movie, I thought it was great. And so
I like how you worded that.
It's well, yeah. I mean, what am I supposed to judge it as? Like a, you know, as an Academy Award film? Like, no, it's not that. But I will tell you that compared to some of the other Predator films I've seen, I thought that this was done very well. It was thought out very well, and the fact that you were putting it in, you know, kind of in the 1700s, really. With one Predator showing up on Earth. I'm not sure if it's supposed to be the first one ever or what exactly, but also it's a historic movie in the sense that it's the first franchise movies to feature an all Native American cast. They're very careful about, you know, the Comanche portrayal and representation in the film and the way they do things. And I mean, even talk, I mean, heck, I think, I might be wrong. I'll have to see if I can pull it up on our site really quick while I'm talking, but it's going to be available in certain Native American languages as a track. Yeah, so
I heard the same thing.
So, I mean, what a phenomenal way to, you know, to show off, you know, culture, Native American culture through a film like this. Especially with not that much representation, especially in mainstream media, to be able to do a film like Prey, and the Predator just looks great. I know that we have a general aesthetic to what it looks like, but there's a mask that it has on and everything, and it just looks great. The gore is good. The action is done really, really well. I think it was, yeah, it's a little slow at the beginning, but once it picks up, it picks up very, very well. But you need you need kind of that foundation to A, the world you're in, kind of the tribe's
workings, politics,
thank you,
type stuff.
And then yeah, you get right into it. So it then has some elements where it teases you on, you think it's going to happen one way, mm-hmm, because you think you know Predator, and then it happens another way. And it's just, it's fun. It's really, really well done. It's not over the top. And a girl defeat a girl versus a predator doesn't necessarily strike you as very interesting, but
Alien versus Predator.
Yeah, so okay. You know, Freddy versus Jason. It's all the same.
Well, no. The female lead in, was it the second Alien versus mm-hmm Predator? So I mean, yeah. I mean, a lot of people tend to forget about first things that happened before the year 2016. So anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, so just overall really well-rounded movie. My biggest gripe with it, especially because there's a lot of moments where obviously the Predator is camouflaged,
mm-hmm,
and there's a lot of moments in it that require listening, is I wanted to see it in theaters. I wanted to experience that kind of sound, that the those moments in that, you know, yeah, like a Atmos room, Dolby surround sound, something.
So you can hear the clicking behind yeah your head. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
But you know, we have a good bar here at our house. But still, like, you know, it's not a theater experience, which is just something I love, and because it is available today on Hulu exclusively, yep, from 20th Century Pictures. So it's on Hulu, so you can go on and watch it this weekend. I highly suggest you do. Fox had written a piece on it yesterday. Also suggesting you do the same as a what to watch this weekend. So I know. Do you like Predator films?
I was always more of an Alien guy than Predator. I liked the first one a lot. I enjoyed the second one because I saw it as a kid, and you know, it was fun. It's, you know, set in a city, which was different, but you know, as a more mature film consumer, it's the second one definitely has flaws. I was out with Predator after AVP. I know that Predators looked interesting because of the director and cast, but it didn't really receive a lot of glowing reviews, so I never got around to seeing it. And then you have The Predator, which you know, I thought with cast and director Shane Black would be interesting, but once I saw Predator dogs that mm-hmm reminded me of Hulk dogs, I was out and didn't watch it. So hearing you kind of rave this one up makes me at least more inclined than those two to watch.
It's really, really well done. I think you'll enjoy it. And then
I hope.
Just on a side note, I know we gotta wrap it up, is Sandman's out today.
Yeah, I heard it looks really good, but is a tough watch. So I know
it's a tough Brian's read. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I know that. I know Brian from AVR. He's a big fan of those graphic novels, so he'll be definitely I'm definitely interested in what he has to say about it. So
also on Netflix, I think it is. We got Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh yeah, cartoon's been out for a bit. They got a movie coming out. Rise's animation is mm-hmm what has kept me from being. I know a lot of people that say they love Rise of the TMNT, but if something is that aesthetically displeasing to my eye, it's really hard to continue to watch it, and I really cannot stand that style, so I can't get into it enough for the story. But I'm not saying that it's a crap show, just I can't. That's one I can't get into.
That's stuff to watch this weekend. Also, go on Bullet Train.
The 2012 one is the best version. I promise you guys that. But anyways, everyone, starting to play intro and music for our trailer over on the Genreverse YouTube channel, which you can catch this show and more, like the Cantina doing Star Wars news and reviews. Marvel does Marvel Multiverse Mayhem does Marvel news and reviews. We have anime stuff, we've got regular geeky stuff, trailer reactions, all sorts of fun things on the channel. All the audio, all the videos except for the trailer reactions go up as audio podcasts wherever you get your podcasts from: Google, Spotify, Apple. So follow us, and if you can leave reviews, please do, like on Apple and Spotify, I believe does reviews now too. And of course, lrmonline.com. Go there every day for entertainment reports, opinion pieces on the news, reviews, interviews with celebrities that are also available with celebrities, creators, the whole nine, that are also available on the LRM Online YouTube channel. Manny, anything else you want to throw out there?
I think that was it. We threw out quite a bit.
Yes, we did. Good full show. Hopefully we'll be back with more days next week. Mm-hmm. Manny, good luck getting back to work and on your test today. All right, guys, we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino online.
I was only playing for fun, so winning was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's favorite free online social casino. You too could have the chance to win life-changing cash prizes. Absolutely anybody could be like Mary. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and play for free now. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of the winner.